From the shadows of the radio towers, this is the Gay PHX Podcast. Your community radio on demand.
It's gonna be a good day. And everything is going to go my way. It's gonna be a good day. The sun is shining bright and it's here to stay.
Howdy, and thanks for spending a little time with us. If you're new here, welcome. I'm Billy Foster, and this is Gay PHX, a community-powered LGBTQ plus radio station and podcast built to connect people, stories, music, and events across Phoenix and beyond. We exist to share what happens, amplify voices that deserve to be heard, and remind you, especially in heavy weeks, that you're not doing this life thing alone. One thing to note right up front, not every interview we do makes it to the podcast. Many conversations air first and sometimes only on the Gay PHX stream. The podcast is where we slow down and spotlight a few voices each week, but the station is where community is consistently unfolding in real time. And today's voice is someone you're going to want to know before you meet her in person. This episode is a chance to spend a little time with Amanda Renfrew, the tax person. Not just for what she does, but for who she is, why she shows up the way she does, and why she decided that supporting this community shouldn't stop at just paperwork. It should include food, joy, and sparkle. Because this first Friday, Amanda is teaming up with Roro Dogs and Gay PHX to do something simple and intentional. 50 free hot dogs, including a signature glitter dog created in her honor. Because if you know Amanda, even a little, you know that practicality and glitter are not mutually exclusive. Before you meet her in line, before you taste that glitter dog, before you realize you've had a conversation about taxes that doesn't feel scary, we wanted you to meet her. If you want to get one of those hot dogs, you need to register ahead of time. These are not walk-up freebies. GayPHX.com/hotdogs for all the details. It's been another heavy week in America. A lot of noise, a lot of uncertainty, and that's exactly why spaces like this matter. Places where we pause, breathe, and reconnect through conversation and community. That intention carries through everything that we're doing this month. In honor of Black History Month, we're being intentional about whose stories we tell, especially the ones history tried to push to the margins. This week, we're starting with Bayard Rustin. Bayard Rustin was a brilliant organizer, strategist, and activist, and the chief architect of the 1963 March on Washington, the one where Dr. King delivered his I Have a Dream speech. While King stood at the microphone, Rustin was behind the scenes making sure that everything actually worked, coordinating transportation, managing security, building coalitions, shaping messages, and bringing together hundreds of thousands of people without social media, cell phones, or modern infrastructure. And he did all of this as an openly gay Black man, in a time where that truth was often used to discredit, silence, or sideline him. Rustic was pushed out of the spotlight not because his work wasn't essential, but because it was inconvenient for people in power to acknowledge someone who didn't fit their idea of respectability. Even within the civil rights movement, he was often asked to step back so others could step forward. But progress doesn't happen without people like Rustin. His life reminds us that moments are built not just by the people we see on stages, by those doing the unglamorous, complicated, and courageous work behind the scenes. The planners, the organizers, the bridge builders. The people who keep going even when they're told to be quiet. And that's why we're saying his name now. And each week this month, we continue honoring Black queer voices whose impact shape our world, whether history was ready to credit them or not. We're also expanding space elsewhere on the station. Growing Older Gay now airs 5 days a week with new episodes airing every Monday at 10 a.m. and standout conversations replaying throughout the week. That's more time with Sam, more space for thoughtful, affirming conversations about identity, life, and community. And before we hand things over, just one more reminder. If you want the details about the 50 free hot dogs for First Friday, including how to reserve yours ahead of time, go to gayphx.com/hotdogs. These are not walk-up freebies, and registration is required. Coming up next, Brian's got you covered with what's happening around town, the events you should have on your radar, and where our community is showing up this week. You're in the right place. Let's get to it.
You're listening to Gay PHX, where community comes first.
Hey, 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 it's your Desert Den Daddy Brian, checking the forecast and confirming 100% chance of plans you didn't mean to make, but absolutely will keep. February is rolling in and pretending to be calm, but the valley already has that look. That one that says, put on real pants if you want, but you won't need them long. This week, it's about showing up into rooms where strangers become teammates, numbers get called, and laughter does most of the heavy lifting. It's movement without judgment, games with a little edge, and community that sneaks up on you while you're busy having fun. From the shadows of the radio tower, this is Brian's Hot 3, where glitter is deployed with intention, innuendo is part of the infrastructure, and I'll just stop by turns into the closing the place down. If you need a place to land, it's a reason to leave the house, or a reminder that people are still very much worth it, Daddy's got you. Let's get into it. Hot pick number one, Desert Valley Squares. Learn to square dance. Sunday, February 1st, 4 to 6, Mount of Olives Lutheran Fellowship Hall. No partner, no gender role, no pressure, and absolutely no one judging your footwork. Desert Valley Squares is launching a brand new beginner class built for people who have never square danced before, and that's exactly the point. People show up solo, everyone dances together, and the room fills fast with laughter, movement, and that quiet realization that you're having way more fun than expected. Easy instruction, relaxed pace, and connection without awkward small talk. New dancers can start February 1st, 8th, or 15th, and the full class runs about 10 to 12 weeks. This is community building disguised as fun, and it works. Hot pick number two, Paddle's Bunkhouse. We have Bunkhouse Bingo. Wednesday, February 4th from 7 to 9. First Wednesday of the month means the balls are out, the cards are ready, and suddenly everyone believes in luck again. Bunkhouse Bingo is playful chaos with prizes on the line and side eye fully activated. Hosted by the ever-delightful Bill Lobb, this is where friendly competition meets flirty distraction. Come for the prizes, stay for the laughter, the crowd watching, and realization that yelling bingo hits harder when the beer tenders keep things flowing. Fate decides if tonight's your night, but either way, you're not leaving bored. Hot pick number three, Robo Dogs on Roosevelt. First Friday kickoff, Friday, February 6th, 6 to 9. And it's free, yes. Said free. First Friday starts early with good vibes, familiar faces, and hot dogs in hand. Romo Dogs is teaming up with Amanda Renfrew, yes, the tax person, for a community first hang designed to ease you into the month with music in the air and zero pressure to perform. This night includes a reveal of the limited edition tax person hot dog, glammed up with edible glitter and full flare. It'll be available all season long with all proceeds going to 1 in 10. Gay PHX will be streaming online, and there are 50 free hot dogs for registered attendees. No registration, no guaranteed dog. Fair, friendly, and deliciously honest. And now, Phoenix, that's your hot three. Thank you, truly, for listening, sharing, and letting this little segment turn listings into connections and sound waves into community. This isn't just a podcast, it's a pulse, and you keep it beating. So stay safe, stay bold, stay hydrated, because Daddy worries. Until next time, coming to you from the shadows of the radio towers, I'm Brian, your Desert Den Daddy, and that's what's hot.
Want all the details? Head over to GabePHX.com, your one-stop shop for queer events, promos, and everything happening in the valley.
This is what community sounds like.
This is Amanda Renfrew, enrolled agent with The Tax Person, with your tax year countdown. If you're building a family through adoption or donor conception, keep every receipt. Adoption expenses may qualify for credits, and donor-related medical expenses may be deductible if tied to your own body. Surrogacy expenses, unfortunately, are not deductible. Get support with a free 15-minute consult at thetaxperson.com or look for me as The Tax Person on socials.
More stories, more voices, more pride. You're tuned in to the Gay PHX podcast.
Today on Gay PHX, taxes don't have to be terrifying. They don't have to be confusing, intimidating, or wrapped up in shame. Not when the right person is guiding you through them. Whether you're an employee, self-employed, running a small business, or juggling side hustles, this conversation is about clarity, confidence, and peace of mind. She's here to break down the myths, calm the panic, and talk money in a way that actually makes sense. No judgment, no scare tactics, just straight talk. Please welcome to the rainbow tinted microphone, Amanda Renfrew, the tax person. Hey, Amanda.
You know what warms my heart so much, Billy, is when people cheer for tax season. This tax season, it's like Christmas for me. I love it.
Aren't we turning it into a holiday?
No, it is. No, we might. That's my idea for next year. But no, what I love about tax season is it gives me the opportunity to reconnect with clients, meet new people, hear about what happened that year, plan for the next year. It really is a very cathartic season for me that a lot of folks just think it's forms and boring stuff. But for me, it is a very special time of year. So I'm excited to be here and talk with you about it today.
So for people meeting you for the first time, they've probably heard you on the station because you're giving tax tips. You've also been in the podcast. Who are you and how did you become the tax person?
Who am I? It's such a philosophical question. How did I become the tax person? Okay, you know what? I grew up in Phoenix for the most part. I moved around a lot, but always somehow found my way back home. And I spent most of my career doing really boring, fancy things like corporate accounting, compliance, corporate tax, investor relations. It was very dry. And the more I did it, the better I became at doing something I didn't really like doing. But I think a lot of us can identify with that for sure. And then a couple of years ago, I decided I'm not doing that anymore. And I decided to move into individual taxation so I could interact more with people. It's a people job for people who do math well. And I rebranded as the tax person just last year. And I lean more into just who I am, which is this weird, quirky, fun self that really likes taxes and really likes people. And it worked for me, right? The more I leaned into who I was, the more I found I was attracting the people I wanted to work with. And so I think that's the code for cracking the imposter syndrome. It's just be more of who you want to be.
I completely agree with that. And I remember when we first met you, you had a dagger on. And you came up to us and I was like, oh, this is going to be an interesting.
Can we clarify real quick? No, just for the listeners, it was not a real dagger. I wasn't around like we were in Paisley. It was a pin. It was a beautiful, gorgeous pin that I got at a place called The Collective. I highly recommend it. The Collective. Everybody look that up.
And it was glitter, right? Or is it blood glitter?
It was like a pronoun pin. That said she, her. And it was a beautiful dagger, like the Fatal Attraction. Because a lot of people, when they hear that I am an enrolled agent with the IRS, you get that like deer in headlights. Oh, no, I don't want to say anything to her. But what I explain to people is, no, as an agent who can represent you before the IRS, I represent you. I am your person. Everything is confidential with me. I'm here to help you solve a problem or celebrate a success or navigate a future or mourn your past. All of those things happen on a tax return. It's the most intimate form you will ever complete. And if I can be there to help advocate for you, if you ever, God forbid, get a letter from the IRS, that's what my role is. That's a really long way to say I love my job. But yes, I'm here for the taxpayer, not to represent the IRS.
So to use an analogy that a lot of people, I'm sure, are familiar with, the court system, you would be the lawyer representing them and the judge would be the IRS or their agent.
No, you know how I would tweak that?
Okay.
Imagine that you receive a letter and you're innocent until proven guilty, but you feel like, oh my God, I'm guilty. Something must be wrong. It's scary, right? So you call a defense person. I am not an attorney. I'm federally licensed as an enrolled agent, but you call me, I can represent you in front of the IRS, who is the state, right? They're the ones. They're the, hey, you did something wrong. This is what you need to do. And the judge is, let's call that a kind of a higher power. You can go to court and go against the IRS. You can go and be adjudicated fairly, but it's not the Department of Treasury. It's a separate branch that would adjudicate that. But here's the thing. We're never going to get to that point, right? When people get letters, it's a paperwork problem. If the IRS shows up at your door, okay, there's probably maybe the mafia involved, maybe you're part of a Ponzi scheme, RICO statute, something like that, but it's not going to be because you owe taxes. That's a myth. The IRS will not show up at your door. What they will do is they will send a letter and then you call me. That's it.
So why is it you think that people find taxes so terrifying?
It's layered. One, I think that there is this perception, and the IRS has worked hard to change this perception, I believe. where it's like this overbearing agency that's coming after you. And they've invested a lot in having a friendlier face to the IRS, if that's possible. But they're just people like you and me, right? If you call up and you're nice to the IRS, they're probably going to be nice back to you when you call up. If you're a jerk to them, they're going to be a jerk back to you, right? That's just human nature. But I think where it comes down to is also there's some degree of shame and embarrassment when you get a letter. I did something wrong, right? It brings you back to your eight-year-old self of, oh my God, I disappointed somebody. I did something wrong. I'm embarrassed. But here's the thing. Like one in seven people, when you're walking around, have some sort of thing they're dealing with the IRS. And it could be a range of anything. I owe the IRS. I'm on a payment plan. I have letters. I have debt. I'm negotiating with them. It's a lot of people. Just nobody talks about it. Because there's this kind of shame script that runs in our heads that we did something wrong. So what I want people to know is that if you call the tax person, if you call us or book an appointment at thetaxperson.com and say, hey, I have this issue or I have this worry about next year or last year. Maybe I did something wrong years ago. Did I do it wrong? Like I listen and I say, hey, you know what? Every problem has a solution. Let's figure it out and move forward. And as soon as you do that, it's like therapy. You're like, oh my God, I feel better. This weight has been lifted and I can now move forward. If you do ever get a letter, just call up. We'll open it together. Usually it's as simple as a little mismatch, right? And then we go, oh, look, a little mismatch. We fix it. Boom, it's done. Don't let it take up the real estate in your mind. Just call for help and it's better. I feel I'm rambling. I'm going to shut up now.
No, people need peace of mind, especially when it comes to taxes. And is there a type of person that you work with most, like employees, freelancers, small businesses?
Gosh, you can probably tell I like a lot of different things, right? I play every instrument that's out there. I listen to all types of music. I like all types of returns. What keeps me happiest is working with a wide variety of clients because that keeps life interesting and spicy. I love working with W-2 employees. I love working with businesses. I love self-employed gig economy folks. I love retirees. I love them. I love working with people that have special needs. I love working with the queer community there's a lot of discrimination that can show up on a tax return that people outside of the community don't see or understand. So I love being able to help with those nuanced questions that are specific to the communication or the community, excuse me, specific to the community so they can file with confidence and not worry about, oh, is the IRS going to show up and start digging into all of my finances and things in life? Just like all of us, one in seven people are walking around worried about.
Speaking of that, a lot of LGBTQ+ folks have complicated relationships with money and institutions. How do you create a space where people can feel safe about being honest?
Okay. Here's one thing I learned in my past life in corporate is when I presented myself in a suit, in a corporate, stuffy, scary environment, it made it very hard to have open communications with people. The minute I shed that and I just talked to people like they were human and we understood each other and I was vulnerable, other people could feel vulnerable sharing with me. It's with your, I don't care who your tax person is, it's a relationship and you need to have somebody you can trust and you can talk to. The way I do that is instantly, if you connect with somebody, it's a natural relationship. Talk to me. If you like me, great. We are friends and clients for life. If I'm not a good fit and you prefer going to an office where they take your name and you sit down in a chair and you wait like at the doctor, that's the right fit for you. It's really about finding that person that you feel that connection to that sees you and understands you. We all know who those people are. You know what yes feels and you know what not the right fit feels like. So I don't know if I'm answering your question.
You are.
But yeah, it's like with every relationship, whether it's your doctor or your lover, or your child, or you know what feels.
What's one common mistake people make every year that's completely avoidable?
Oh, goodness. That's a really good question. Okay. A really common mistake is a lot of self-employed folks make is they don't take advantage of the tax code in fear of getting audited. But here's the thing. The tax code is written in a way. It's like the map to not paying taxes. So you need to use the tax code in a smart way. And a smart way would be looking at things like SEP IRAs and health insurance as a self-employed deduction. It's not doing things like, I'm going to claim a ton of miles without documentation. I can't tell you how many people you say, okay, did you document your miles last year? Yeah, I documented them. Great. How many miles did you do for business?
About
7,000. Like 7,000, it's a really round number. Are you sure it was 7,000? Yeah. I don't know. How much is it per mile this year? Like that's the stuff that gets you in trouble. That's what gets you the letter from the IRS that says, hey, we need to learn more about your self-employment return, because self-employment is really easy pickings for the IRS. Super easy. So the biggest mistake you can make is being general, not keeping documentation. I do not audit my clients. I do not want to see receipts. We have trust. If you tell me this is the expense, that's the expense. But we just want to make sure that you can provide that documentation and substantiate that if you ever had an inquiry. Another mistake I see people make on self-employment, which they're like, oh, I didn't consider that, is like right now, I'm talking on my phone. That's a business expense, right? There's a portion of my cell phone that I use for business. So I'm going to use a portion of that as a business expense every year. People are like, no, I know, but I use it for personal stuff too. Yeah, just make sure it makes sense. Don't write off 100% of your phone. The IRS knows that I also call my mom every now and then. So just make sure it makes sense. Apply logic and you'll be just fine.
As the start of the new year and someone also starting a new business, what's some advice that you can give to me or someone else starting something this year to keep track so that we're good to go for next year paying taxes when it comes around?
Okay, I love it. Okay. There's a couple things you can do. There's a very common question of like, when should I consider an S-Corp or should I form a partnership? Those are very nuanced questions, but a lot of times those don't make sense until you have a business plan and you have a revenue plan. Keep your life as simple as possible until you need to do it for tax purposes. So what does that mean? One, I'm not an attorney. I do recommend an LLC, which is asset protection. It has nothing to do with taxes. It's asset protection. Where the confusion lies in is people say, okay, I'm going to make an LLC. I'm going to save a bunch of money in taxes. It's not how it works. When you make an LLC, your default is it goes on your personal income tax return. Keep it that way. It's simple. It's cheaper to do it that way. Even though you pay more in taxes, you're going to pay less for the administrative burden of running an S-Corp. Then what I do is when you're still small, keep your life simple. Go open a bank account and only use that bank account for your bank or for your expenses. Do not commingle. That's where the nightmare comes in, is you, by the end of the year, you forget what was personal and what was business. Now your personal assets are exposed if anybody were to ever sue you. It's a mess. One bank account, one expense account with that bank, all the revenue goes in that one account, all the expenses come out of that one account. At the end of the year, we get a report, organize it, boom, you're done. It's a 1-hour exercise. Second thing, mileage. Don't leave mileage on the table. You're going to download an app. I use Mile IQ. It's free. Every time you get in the car, it's going to track for you. You don't even need to remember. At the end of the year, you're going to pull a report and you're going to show me your business miles and your personal miles. And if the IRS ever asks, and that's one of the top audit flags is mileage, I furnish them the report and say, look, IRS, it's all here. And they go, thank you very much. And they move on. That's my advice. One bank account, put everything in that one account. Mile IQ would be the top two things I'd recommend.
Noted. Now, when people hear the word audit, they, of course, immediately panic. Real talk, how many people should be worried about actually being audited?
Oh, okay. So there's a misconception that when you get a letter from the IRS, it's an audit. An audit is a whole different stage. Usually, the very first notice you'll receive is a simple mismatch. And a mismatch means somebody reported income or something about your income to us that did not appear on your return. The IRS pretty much already knows what they expect to see on your return. The job of the tax return is to reconcile that to say, here's what's different from what you already know about me. For example, maybe you forgot to add interest from a bank account you forgot you had. You get a letter in the mail that says, hey, you had some interest reporting. We're going to make an adjustment. If you agree, pay it. If you don't agree, here are your options. That's not an audit. That's just, it's just a notice. It's just paperwork.
Clarification.
So don't, when you see a letter that says Department of Treasury, do not panic. And if you do, call me and we'll open it together. An audit comes where they maybe notice something different. You send the response and they say, that doesn't make sense. We need to dig into this deeper. And that's when they start sending you forms saying, prove it. And that's where we don't want to get into a prove it stage, which is why filing up front is important. Now, if we ever did, one thing that we offer at the tax person is with every return that we file, we offer up to $1 million audit protection, which means if you ever get a letter, you call us, we handle it for you up to $1 million of engagement services, which is maybe I've used like $100. It's an absurd amount, this protection that we offer. But we want people to know, hey, we stand behind our returns. If you do got a letter, we got your back and everything is fixable. Everything is fixable. When you self-prepare, a lot of times they'll try to upcharge you at the very end where it's like, hey, thanks for using our software. Do you want to protect yourself? And you're like, oh my God, do I need to? Yeah, it's okay. And then you pay that extra $100 for the audit protection.
Yes.
All that usually is a hotline. It's a 1-800 number that you call and you say, oh my God, I got this letter. And they just say, okay, here's what you might want to do. They're not doing it for you. You're still representing yourself.
So is it like an extended warranty?
Yes. So it is protection in the sense that there's a 1-800 number you can call for them to tell you what to do. But if you do not want to deal with the IRS, then I recommend working with a firm that will work with the IRS. Because if you go hire somebody after the fact, after you've already filed, it's often too cost prohibitive for people, right? You're going to go to an attorney and they're going to say, yeah, that's great. I charge a $10,000 retainer, which kind of your back's against the wall at that point, because it's either pay for IRS support out of pocket or deal with it yourself.
Is that the big difference between tax software then and working with a real human like yourself?
There's a couple different, that's the biggest difference in the audit protection. When you self-prepare, it's not really audit protection. It's audit guidance that they'll give you. Audit protection is when a third party prepares your return. That protection serves as if a third party credentialed person makes a mistake, we will help make sure that mistake is resolved, adjudicated, handled on your behalf. You still have a choice. You could do it. You could deal with the IRS yourself, but why would you want to? You'd be better off just saying, hey, oh my gosh, I got this notice. I take the letter and I say, okay, let's go ahead and see what they're asking for and we resolve it. You do not need to work with the IRS directly. That's the biggest difference between working with a professional that has audit protection and a self prepared audit protection. It's not really protection, it's guidance. The other difference working with a professional is, yes, doing it yourself, you can save a lot of money, but you could be leaving a lot of money on the table because you don't do taxes every day. And so you may not know the opportunities to save money or how you could use the code more effectively to save money. So very often you find that you can save more by using a professional despite paying the professional fee. Or even if you don't, you got to focus your life on doing something you actually enjoy doing and not doing taxes. Every CPA, EA, tax firm, big box, any shape or breed, they all do their pricing a little bit differently. I do very straightforward, simple pricing. The price I tell you is the price you get. It's three different tiers. And that way there's no surprises at the end. And I don't charge extra for audit protection because it's a really awkward question. Do you want to insure the work that I just did for you and you pay for it? It makes no sense to me why anybody does it that way.
Now, for someone who hasn't filed, owes money, or feels embarrassed about their situation, what would you want them to hear right now?
The problem doesn't go away. I think the the thing to do when you're in that situation is find a partner, get a free consult, and just get the guidance to say, okay, it's not going to go away. So how do I get myself to a different frequency where I can handle this problem? And if that frequency is, okay, I'm going to engage somebody for support that's going to walk through, help me understand what I need to do next, put one foot in front of the other and just get it done, you will feel so much better when it's behind you. Or in that consultation with whoever you want to speak with, whatever professional, if they say, okay, here's how you can deal with it on your own, okay, take notes and then go deal with it on your own. But make sure you deal with it, because just burying the problem with the IRS, it does not go away. It only compounds the problem in not a fun way. It's not like compound interest where it gets better and better. It gets worse and worse because the compound interest is on their side, not yours.
And that just keeps growing.
It will. It keeps growing until it's a big enough problem that now your only option is to start negotiating with the IRS for a reduced amount. And now you're paying somebody a ton of money to represent you like an attorney, where it's sometimes it's much easier to solve early on when we have the ability to set up payment plans and you have a lot more options available to you until it snowballs into an unmanageable amount. And it's just a scary reality. But this still, even if it did snowball, let's say in your worst imagination, it snowballed to this impossible amount, there's still a solution. There's still opportunities where you can negotiate with the IRS a reduced amount or say, hey, it's currently not collectible. Could we put a pause on collections? There's always a solution, but the solution cannot be found if you don't strap up your boots and deal with it.
And if they did work with you, what does working with you actually look like?
Oh, I guarantee a laugh, even in the most dire situations. We will laugh and connect. What I always offer is support, guidance, my full heart and attention. I never offer judgmentalism. Is that a word?
Judgment? They've never passed judgment?
I never passed judgment. I'm not judgmental. Like, I've seen every type of situation there is out there. What is working with me like? Okay, so here's what I normally do. Just real quick process is you book a free consult, 15 minutes. We get to know each other a little bit. I send you a proposal that's in, it's beautiful, and you select what you want. You're not going to pay for more than what you ask for. Once you say, yes, I want to work with you, we sign the proposal, we get you into the system, and then you can do everything from the comfort of your phone. It is so beautiful and slick. I actually had somebody tell me how beautiful my app was the other day, and I was like, oh my God, you have no idea how much that means to me. But yeah, we make everything really easy, simple to do. You then, once you get your return, we go through and you can see all of the things that we need to point out. We can have a report of where your opportunities are for next year to improve your tax situation. And then anytime you have a question throughout the year, I'm here. I love to talk about taxes. So anytime someone has a question, I pick up the phone like a human.
Just like a human. I love it. What's one thing that you wish everyone understood about taxes that would instantly lower their stress?
That there is support out there that's more affordable than you think. By the time everything's said and done, to get the support you need, it's typically not that much more than some of the big box software chains that say, oh, we're going to do an add-on for this, an add-on for that, an add-on for this. I think it's closer than you think. And so really where it comes down to is finding that professional that you trust and that you can connect with and have a relationship with. That's the most important thing.
And so now on the more personal side, when you're not doing taxes, so people can connect with you, what are some of the things that you do outside of taxes?
My favorite thing to do is I'm a musician. I am Renstagram on Instagram. That's the French way though, G-R-A-M-M-E, Renstagram. My favorite instrument is the bass. I play keys. I play an upright bass. I play the keytar. I play a guitar. I sing. I do it all. But I do it with a team. I do it with a band. I don't do all the instruments myself. because that never ends well. I even have a glitter ball marching drum. I'm not kidding. I'm going to send you a picture or post it on your, I just want to prove I'm not lying about this glitter ball marching drum. It's amazing. But what I did learn recently is when you play a deep instrument like the bass, it lights up the amygdala in your brain. And I think that's why I like it so much, because the amygdala is a very important part of your brain that makes you creative and see patterns in math. And I think that's probably why I'm also good at taxes. So I'm a good tax person. I'm a good bassist. If you want to see me perform live, we're usually, right now I'm playing with a band called Don't Tell Mandy. We play once a month at Cactus Jack in Ahwatukee.
I know that place. It's right next to my favorite sushi place that got shut down for human trafficking.
Yes. Oh, they did? Are you kidding me? Oh,
no.
Wait, when did this happen?
A few weeks ago.
Recent? I was there.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Sorry. Sorry.
Breaking news for you. Sorry.
Oh, my gosh. This is. I'm going to go look this up. No, because that used to be part of our, after the show, like all of the guests that would come see us, we'd go have sushi.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, that's awful. That is honestly,
it
that's
is.
Awful. That breaks my heart that the world we live in, it's right there in plain sight.
Right.
It's,
I know.
It's
how
awful.
Many times are there? And I'm just like, I feel so bad. I'm like, and I was supporting it all this time.
Yeah. No, it's true. Okay.
Now, what are their taxes like?
That's not a very uplifting way to end this. Yes, I know. We got to end this on a better note because that is really awful. So let's see. What else do I do? I'm a real normal person. I love the movies. I love hot dogs. I highly recommend Roro's. It's my new favorite hot dog place. I love basketball. I'm a big basketball fan. You can see me at a lot of Suns games. And yeah, I don't know. I'm just a normal person, Billy.
That's excellent. And back to the music. We'll use this as a shameless plug to talk about music.gayphx.com. Because that's where you have some of your music submitted so that we can play it on the air.
I do have some music on the air. You guys can all try to figure out which one's me because I have it under my code name. But yes, I appreciate that opportunity to share my music. And what I would love to do is, I know a lot of musicians, if you're okay with it, when I'm doing their taxes this year, if you're okay, I would love to share with them, Gay PHX, if you would like to have your music heard, please submit it to Gay PHX, because I know so many musicians that would just be so honored to hear. When you hear your own music, it's a whole different plane of existence. When you hear it on the radio, it's wonderful. So
I agree.
Thank you. Thank you for offering that to our community.
Of course. Yes. Yes. And please, yes, do share. Everybody share. Let everyone know. Music.gayphx.com is where not only can you submit, but you can also discover the people that we have playing on the radio station, including Tom Goss, who's a national treasure for us in our community.
Oh, for sure. And it was so, when I used the site, it was so easy. Like, I was surprised how easy you made it after trying to navigate stuff like DistroKid and getting it on spot. Like, it was so easy. It took me 5 minutes. And then, oh, just magical. Thank you, Billy. Just thank you.
Of course. Awesome. All right. So let's wrap this up. Where can people find out and reach out to you when they want to get started?
Okay. So you can find me on thetaxperson.com. I have invested in a 1-877 number. It's 1-877-TAXPERSON, mostly because I wanted to have a jingle. I'll be honest. 1-877-TAXPERSON. You can call me there or find me on Instagram at _thetaxperson. Or on Facebook, The Tax Person as well.
Excellent. Thank you so very much for joining us today, Amanda. I really appreciate it and all that you do.
Thank you. I appreciate you. And we will talk to you soon, I'm sure.
Definitely.
Okay. Thank you, Billy. Thank you, everybody.
Another reason we love this community.
I'm Daddy Dave, your friend in the fight to end stigma. And I'm the founder of Team Friendly, here today to talk about fighting HIV stigma in dating and relationships. Dating and relationships are built on trust, honesty, and care, and not stigma. Fighting HIV stigma begins with being friendly to the truth and compassionate to each and every one of us. Let's all do our part to help initiate conversations regarding disclosure of status and focus on respect, compassion, and understanding. People of every HIV status deserve dignity, safety, and real connection. Being friendly means listening without judgment, learning the facts, and choosing empathy over fear. HIV does not define someone's worth or their ability to love and be loved. When stigma ends, healthy relationships grow, conversations become safer, and communities become stronger.
Pride lives here.
Before we wrap things up, we want to take a moment and say thank you. We really mean it. A huge thank you to Amanda Renfrew, not just for the conversation that you heard today, but for her belief in what we're building. Amanda didn't just show up as a guest. She showed up as a supporter, a partner, and someone who sees the value in community-first work. She's officially our first Founding 50 member, and we couldn't be more excited or grateful to have her on board. Her support helps make moments like the Roro Dogs giveaway, the conversations on this podcast, and the work happening across the station possible. That kind of belief means everything. So if you're headed to First Friday, don't forget to sign up in advance for one of the free 50 hot dogs. All the details are at gayphx.com/hotdogs. And for everything else we talked about today, events, programming, interviews, and what's coming up next, gayphx.com is your home base. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for helping this grow. We don't have a broadcast tower. We don't have a transmitter humming in the desert, but we do have you. And that's why this works. We'll see you next week here and every day on the stream. We love you, Phoenix.
We're together, the sun is bright, and there's nowhere better than by your side.
Thanks for hanging out with the Gay PHX podcast.
Be kind.
Be bold.
Be you.